Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos on various subjects and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you, just to show you a need for God in your life to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are looking at conversions. We've been looking at this in June and now through the end of July. And we're looking at the conversions in the book of Acts. Today, we are talking about the conversion of the Athenians in Athens. We want to begin by reading Acts 17 and verse 3. We'll begin with verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them for three Sabbaths and reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." Now notice that he went into the synagogue. That's where the Jews would be. He first went to the Jews, and he reasoned with them from the Old Testament Scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, explaining and proving that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Now, notice that he did this everywhere he went in order to try to give the Jews the opportunity of obeying the gospel. And then we see in verse 4, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and thought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, and have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, there's Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. But notice, these are again a false charges. What do they mean they've turned the world upside down? Well, they're turning the world upside down with the preaching of the gospel. And they are saying things contrary. No, that was to get the Gentiles riled up. That was to get the Romans riled up, that they were seeking to supplant Caesar. But that's a false concept. That's a false concept that even Jesus denied when he was here, when they asked him about the tax. Should a man pay taxes? He said, "Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things that are God to the things of God." And so then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. What did he do in Thessalonica? He went into the synagogues to teach the Jews. He does the same thing in Berea, but he has a different audience in Berea. How do I know? Look at verse 11. That these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You see, these men were willing to examine. They were willing to examine what they were being taught. They were examining to open up the scriptures and find out if what they were being taught was accurate according to the Word of God. That's exactly what you and I ought to do today. We ought to open up the pages of God's Word, and we ought to find out if what we're being told is the truth according to God and not according to men. And again, they had success. Therefore, many believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But notice in verse 13, the Jews are not happy. They're envious. And when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the power that the word of God was being preached by Paul and Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Again, these men were trying to destroy the work of Paul and Silas. They were trying to destroy it by making the crowd, by getting a mob up to get them run out of the city. Why? Because they didn't want to give the gospel a fair-minded hearing. They wanted to close the minds of those that they might not leave Judaism but remain in something that God had nailed to the cross. And immediately they sent Paul away again to go by sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. And so they send Paul away, and he goes by the sea, but he leaves Silas and Timothy there to continue the teaching. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Now notice he goes into the city, and he noticed that it's given over to idols. It was easier to find an idol in the city of Athens than it was to find a man. And it provoked his spirit. And what did he do? Did he just shake the dust off his feet and move on? No, that's not what he did. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily to those who happened to be there. And so he just tried to reason with people, to try to show them through the scriptures and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that guided him, that God's word in the gospel was what men needed to hear today in order to be saved. Now, he reasoned with them. He reasoned with the Jews. He reasoned with the Gentiles. Now, the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preaches to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what new doctrine it is at which you speak? For you're bringing many strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." Now, at first, we would think that this is a good opportunity. These men want to know what the scripture says. But when we read a little farther, that's not their intent. "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through them considering the objects of your worship, and I found an altar to the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you.'" Now, I want you to notice something that's very important in this text. He didn't preach to them about Jewish history. He didn't preach to them about the fulfillment of prophecy of the coming Messiah and the Christ. That's not where he began. These were idolaters. These were men and women who believed in many gods and believed that gods were made with men's hands. So what text did he use to begin this sermon to these idolaters in Athens? Notice verse 24. "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." He tells them that there is no such thing as idols, that God does not dwell in something made with men's hands. The God that he preaches doesn't dwell in a temple. He doesn't dwell in something that men make in order to secure him a place or bring food to him. God doesn't do that. Why? Because verse 25, he is in need of nothing. Why? Because he gives life and breath to all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men. All men, Jew or Gentile, wherever they live on the face of the earth, they're all children that were of the same blood. And it says in verse 27, "so that they should seek in the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he be not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." He's showing that man has a responsibility of seeking after the Lord. And if he seeks him, he will find him. Therefore, we are all the offspring of God. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped out of art of man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this by raising him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others say, we will hear you again on this matter. And so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined them and believed, among them Dionysius and Areopagite, a woman named Demetrius, and others with him. Now again, he preaches the gospel. He doesn't preach many gods. He doesn't preach Jewish history. He doesn't preach about the fulfilling of prophecy. He shows that there is only one true God and that he created everything. He created the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. And he is the only supreme God that men should worship. And he's not made with hands. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He preached Christ and him crucified and preached the resurrection of Christ to show that he is appointed a day in which he will judge the world. What's he going to judge the world by? By righteousness, by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given us assurance by raising him from the dead. He's going to judge all men by Christ. We know in John 12:48, Jesus said, you can reject his word, but the same word will judge you in the last day. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that all men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that they've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And we notice that some believed. Some believed the things that Paul was teaching. And others mocked him. And others just thought it was another God among many gods and said that we'll hear you again on this matter. They really weren't interested in knowing what to do. They just wanted to hear something new. They didn't really have a deep-seated interest in knowing what their duty was to God. But what I want you to see here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the message, although it all comes back to the same in the end, is not all started in the same way. In Acts 2, he preached to the Jews to show that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy that was made by David in Psalm 16, and to show that he was the Messiah. When he preached to the Gentiles, he preached that God was not just a God to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And in Acts 17 here, he preaches to a bunch of idolaters in the city of Athens and tells them that they're wrong about their idolatry, that there's only really one true and living God, and he's the God that they're preaching. I'm often reminded by this when I lived in Vegas and people would find out that I was a preacher in Vegas and said, well, why in the world would you preach in such an ungodly city like Las Vegas? Well, what else should I do? Do you think there were lost people in Vegas? Do you think there were people there that needed the cross and needed to know about Christ? Do you think there were sinners there? Sure there were. And how could I help them? The same way that Paul helped the Athenians. Get them out of the error and point them to the truth. That's what preachers do. They point men to the truth. And the truth can only be found in God's word. And all salvation is in Christ. Acts 4 and verse number 12.